Domingo Santana.
Yes, and a very happy Kokomo Friday to all of you out there. Getting ready for a nice Father's Day weekend. What's up? It is June 15th. It is Friday. We've got a case of the Fridays here on Fantasy Baseball. Today, we're going to give you our favorite two-star pitchers for Week 12. We're going to talk about everything from yesterday. And Scott and Chris, if you're good, if you're well-behaved, mm-hmm. it's all on you today. We will play the Fantasy Feud later.
Oh! Wow.
But
this is like me tempting my son with getting to watch Curious George.
I don't know why Scott would be excited for that, because he always loses.
I do not always lose. I lost to you the last
always,
time we played.
The last two times, at least.
Oh, wow.
At
who's counting?
Least.
We only played once this year.
We played twice.
Okay.
Oh, really? Okay. So
we'll see. You did something that wasn't the feud, but it was basically.
I don't think we're being.
Oh,
well
the leaderboard,
right now.
The leaderboard trivia. Okay, no, you're not being good enough. We have to get moving. We have to pick up the pace. So we're going to start with Thursday's standouts, which will be David Peralta and some others. We'll also talk about Brandon Nimmo, who homered yesterday, but boy, he's striking out a lot. Carlos Rodon, Tyson Ross, Caris Davis, Rhys Hoskins is hitting well. Andrew McCutchen is carrying your fantasy team lately. Trevor Story's strikeout rate is pretty low for him. We'll talk about that. We got not much in the bullpen. Your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com and weekend streamers and two-star pitchers. Okay, here we go. David Peralta, 71% owned. He has already matched last year's home run total. Peralta he hit two yesterday, one off a lefty, his third off a lefty this year. 14 homers this year, .279 batting average, two steals. And his career high is 17 homers in 149 games. So, Scott, how legit is David Peralta? He is currently the number 25 outfielder in points, number 22 in Roto.
And I think it helps sometimes to give the pace stats, just helps put it in perspective. He's on a 33 homer pace now. So he has been an awesome power hitter this year. And he has, at least heading into last night's game, I can only imagine it's improved since then, but he's the second highest hard contact rate among qualifying hitters. So
wow.
He's hitting the crap out of the ball.
Ooh.
I don't know, despite that, I don't know that he should have as many home runs as he has, because he has that sub 30% fly ball rate that normally keeps guys like Christian Yelich and Eric Hosmer, normally keeps their home run totals at bay. I think that pace is going to have to slow.
I also, I imagine I'm going to say something that will annoy Scott. So I'm going to do it.
Braves suck.
Yes. But also, I've noticed something weird with the hard hit data at FanGraphs.
Ooh, yeah. You know, I saw you tweet about this. I'm glad you brought this up. Thank
you. Yeah, it's making me, I think it was Chris Swick, our former colleague, who said that every time he goes to a player's FanGraphs page, it seems like they have a career hard hit rate. And so, you know, I had noticed the same thing, so I wanted to look into it league-wide. And the league-wide hard hit rate is up to 35% this year, which is like, I think the previous high over the last decade was 31.8%.
It's a big jump.
That's a 10% jump. And it's possible that everyone is just hitting the ball harder. But like the soft contact,
unlikely.
Yeah, the soft contact rate league wide is not up. So that seems to suggest to me that there's some kind of classification error going on. Now, a 10% jump for David Peralta still doesn't get him to 49.2%. But, you know, the majority of that jump has come from medium contact. You know, the FanGraphs splits it up soft contact, medium contact, hard contact, and maybe he is just maximizing his efficiency as a hitter. But
it's still like, even if the data is skewed, he's still second in the majors.
Right. And he's 26th in the majors in average exit velocity. So he is hitting the ball hard.
Mm-hmm.
I think that maybe overstates it a little bit. And, you know, and then you have the caveat of it's 2.5 months. You know, we have all these skill-based indicators but you can get hot in a way that makes it seem like your skill level has increased.
All right, let me.
And my guess is David Peralta probably isn't that much of a better hitter.
Let me get in here. Peralta, would you drop Jay Bruce for David Peralta?
Probably should at this point.
I'm fine.
I've been reluctant to downgrade Bruce, but plantar fasciitis, and eventually they're going to have a crowded outfield.
Would you drop Yasiel Puig for David Peralta?
No.
I don't think I would, no.
Would you rather have David Peralta or Shin-Soo Chu?
Peralta.
Chu, by the way, has like a 28-game on-base streak right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Chu, he's been a top 15 outfielder, I want to say, in points leagues this year. I would guess Peralta hasn't.
He has. Peralta's 25th in points, 22nd in Roto. That might be a Chu in points, Peralta in Roto kind of deal.
It might be, yeah.
Yeah. Now, if you play in an OBP Roto league, maybe it's Chu across the board. But Peralta, I mean, 14 homers, pretty damn good. All right. Any other standouts, guys? We are running behind pace for Fantasy Feud, by the way. Any other standout? We're going to talk about all the pitchers. So,
yeah, I got a huge pitcher standout.
Hit me with
somebody
it.
Somebody I really want to get into.
Oh, wait, can I guess? Can I guess?
Go ahead.
It's either Lance Lynn or Domingo Herman. I'm going to go with Domingo Herman.
It's Domingo Herman.
Scott, last swing and strike white.
Is less than 40% owned. That's going to change because he's a two-star pitcher this upcoming week, but I think it should change permanently because heading into last night's game, if he had the innings to qualify, he would have had the sixth best swinging strike rate in baseball. So, you know, basically Scherzer, Sale, DeGrom, Luis Castillo's up there, and like Noah Syndergaard. Those are the guys ahead of him. And then he got 26 swinging strikes yesterday, 10 more than his previous high. So like he has been elite bat misser. And with three pitches that are capable of doing that, I mean, a lot of young pitchers straight out of the minors don't have three pitches, period. And he's got three that are good at getting swings and misses. I think he could explode here.
Yeah. Look, he's got really good stuff. I do worry with Herman that it might be a little bit of a roller coaster. And I completely agree that 40% is too low. Like, you'll ride the roller coaster. But sometimes he just, you know, like his last three starts now have been pretty good. The three starts before that were terrible. They were against Oakland, at Texas, and at Houston. I don't know that he'll be as good as his stuff, but Scott, I totally agree. Domingo Herman underowned at 40%, and two starts next week are Seattle and at Tampa Bay. Seattle could be tough, but at Tampa Bay should be pretty good. And Chris, do you have a standout?
I'm just realizing Domingo Herman was a Marlins prospect, so I'm trying to figure out what happened there, and I can't focus on anything else right now. Yeah.
Okay.
Marlins love to give away pitchers.
Martin Prado and David Phelps. Good job, Marlins.
Let's take a look at... Oh, that was a while ago. Let's take a look at the favorite two-star pitchers. Just we'll explore this list a little bit deeper, but owned in less than 70% of leagues. I'll make an exception for Caleb Smith. He's 72% owned. Who are one or two two-star pitchers that you would like for next week?
Well, Domingo Herman's top of the list.
Yeah.
After that, I know Heath brought up Andrew Suarez, who has really good matchups. I don't trust the pitcher at all. Like, if you want to play the matchups that hard, fine. He's not for me. I think I'd rather go Dylan Covey, who I see as a high floor pitcher. Like, I don't think he's a guy who mixed league owners should ever really look to in one start week, but two starts. I think one of the matchups is a good one.
Yeah, versus Oakland is middle of the road.
Yeah.
It's not great.
But best ground ball pitcher in baseball he's been this year. So that should avert disasters.
And Carlos Rodon is 70% owned. He probably needs to be owned. I would say universally at this point. I don't know if I love starting him this week at Cleveland versus Oakland, but he needs to be owned.
Yeah, Rodon, okay start yesterday. Not a lot of strikes, but he's shaking off the rust. So Caleb Smith is at San Francisco and at Colorado. So and he's a little dinged up, but he's going to make his next start. So maybe he's a risky start because of the at Colorado and the little plus sign next to him, little medical plus sign next to him. But just rest of season. Oh, I'm sorry. It's bereavement list. So I hope everything's okay with Caleb Smith, but it's not like a arm injury that's going to linger. Rest of season, would you rather have Caleb Smith or Herman Marquez?
Oh, Caleb Smith.
Wait,
I don't think that's close. You mean
Domingo Herman.
I'm reading the two-star pitcher list.
Yeah, that was kind of a...
Herman Marquez.
Where did Marquez come from? Okay, yeah, I would rather have... I think he'd rather have Caleb Smith in points league. Well, no, they're both relief pitcher eligible, right?
Yeah.
We haven't talked about that much for Herman. I think I'm ready to take Herman now.
Okay, Domingo Herman. Domingo. We get a new version. All right, cool. Those are your two-star pitchers. Hey, Chris, tell us about the newsletters. They're really, really cool.
Yeah. We have a Fantasy Baseball Today newsletter and a Fantasy Football Today newsletter. And I send those out pretty much every day, especially for the football one moving forward into draft season. You'll get all of our latest content right into your mailbox. And, it's nice. You get a little blurb from me explaining everything that's going on. I write a little bit. I give you all of our best stuff from Scott White, Heath Cummings, Dave Richard, Jamie Eisenberg. I give you the most recent Fantasy Baseball Today podcast or Fantasy Football Today podcast.
Yes.
And there are other very good newsletters under the CBS Sports umbrella that you should check out as well.
Okay, and here are the URLs. If you want the Fantasy Baseball Today newsletter, which will help you get an edge on your competition, go to cbssports.com/FBTDaily. cbssports.com/FBTDaily. And if you want the Fantasy Football Today newsletter, go to cbssports.com/FFTDaily. cbssports.com/HQDaily for the HQ newsletter. We got a lot of really good stuff. Pick 6 Daily, so whatever. cbssports.com/FBTDaily. That's the one that most of you are going to want. And we have sportsline.com, which has some extra fantasy content for you. It's got some gambling, it's a gambling site, basically. So it's got a ton of gambling content for you. Picks games, got computer simulations, got experts, got great stuff. Sportsline.com could be a great resource for you. It's $10 a month, which is really, really inexpensive for something like this. But if you want your first month for just $1, go to sportsline.com. I think it's sportsline.com/join. And the promo code is pitch. Promo code's pitch on sportsline.com. So that's for $1 for your first month. Again, on sportsline.com/join, the promo code is pitch. Let's rank some fringy starting pitchers, which include Domingo Herman, Michael Fulmer, Vince Velasquez, very good start yesterday. Lance Lynn, pretty good start yesterday. Frankie Montas, Domingo Herman. So Fulmer, Velasquez, Lynn, Montas, Herman. That's how they're ranked in ownership. What do you think, guys?
I think
Velasquez is my favorite of this group. Inconsistency is still the primary issue for his game. I would say it's the primary thing that defines his game at this point. But when he's on, he looks unhittable. And I think he's had some bad luck this season. Like, I know he's coming off a really bad start. He was brilliant yesterday. He was really good before that. And he has a 3.53 FIP, a 3.46 Sierra, a 3.55 XFIP. Every peripheral that you want to choose points to him being a very good pitcher. Tons of strikeouts, better control than he's had at various points in the past. So in terms of upside, which is all I really care about at pitcher, I think he's the best option there.
All you really? Okay. I would take – I think if the biggest concern about Velasquez is consistency, and it is, I think I'd rather have Domingo Herman than Velasquez even.
Consistency. Thy name is Domingo Herman.
Well – Velasquez has one good pitch, right? We're confident he has one really good pitch. And he's part of a big reason for the inconsistencies is the lack of variety there. And Domingo Herman clearly hasn't beaten that area. I don't know. Like, I feel like the expected scenario for both is very similar. And Herman's best case scenario, I think, is much better.
You know, it's interesting. I actually really like this list, except for Frankie Montas, I guess. Although Montas is at San Diego next week, so you may not want to discard him. He had a terrible start against Houston. A lot of pitchers struggle against Houston. But Fulmer at Cincinnati next week. Vince Velasquez has St. Louis at home this week. Lance Lynn's the only one I don't mind Lynn long term. I know Scott, you know, Scott's been more of a Lynn promoter than anyone else. He's 50% owned. He's maybe turning it around. One walk to nine strikeouts yesterday was very encouraging, but he's among the lead leaders in walks. But he's got Boston next week, so we're not going to start him. Montas, 48% owned at San Diego. Herman, 40% owned. The only one on this list with two starts. So if you want to play it week by week, then maybe Herman's your guy. But, you know, we were just talking about Velasquez not too long ago as, like, you got to add him because he's got
so much
potential.
Yeah, I mean, he deserves to be more than 66% owned. He's probably, like, Fulmer's the most owned at 78. He should probably be the third most owned.
Okay, so it's either Velasquez, Herman, Fulmer, or Herman, Velasquez, Fulmer. Is that where we're at?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get to the big news. Doing pretty well here on time. Minnesota sent Miguel Sano, not to AAA. They sent him to double, they sent him to double A. No, wait, they didn't send him to double A.
They
sent him to single A.
It doesn't matter what, I've seen a lot of talk of they sent him to single A. That's a really bad sign. It's nothing.
No, I think they wanted him to be with a hitting coordinator that they liked, right?
Yeah, that's their spring training facility in Fort Myers. Right, so they want to get him extra coaching. That's all. They sent him to single A. It looks worse than going to triple A. But unless he actually is like, I can't believe they sent me to single A. I'm broken now.
No.
It doesn't matter.
He actually was very, he said a lot of good things. Yes. So
your Miguel Sano voice sounded like Derek Zoolander. A center for ants.
I think that's how we all picture Miguel Sano talk.
Yeah. And the problem with Sano, as we know, is that he can't turn left. But also, Sano's in single A. Is it safe to drop him or do you want to stash him?
I would hang on to him in a 12-team league. You're probably not going to find a hitter with the kind of upside he has.
I think a standard roto lineup league, you'd hold on to him.
He's
but a head-to-head lineup league, I was already close to dropping him there.
Yeah, unless he's just broken now, which happens sometimes. You know, Rougned Odor is just broken now.
Yeah.
If that's the case with Miguel Sano, then he's not going to be back anytime soon. But I would guess as soon as he starts showing signs of life down there, he'll be back up.
Okay, so Sano 83% owned, and I'm very clairvoyant. I dropped him two nights ago, so take that. But it wasn't just Sano. Longoria broke his finger, and Matt Chapman is having an MRI on his right hand, and that hand has been bothering him since spring training. So we lost three third basemen yesterday. Adrian Beltre is 71% owned. Jamer Candelario is 66% owned.
That one's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I really like the season Jamer Candelario is having.
I think both of those guys, Beltre's not healthy, or is generally not healthy.
Yeah.
In this world anymore, but I think that's still too low now.
He's been playing more than I feel like they advertised he was going to play coming off the DL.
Ryan Healy is third base eligible. He's 58% owned. Would you rather have Candelario or Beltre or Healy?
Candelario is my favorite of the three. I'd rank them that way. Candelario, Beltre, Healy.
Yeah, I think it depends on what my team needs. Healy's going to be the best power hitter of that group.
We dig a little bit deeper. We got Matt Davidson. Nick Senzel is still 40% owned. Derek Dietrich, he sits against lefties. Ryan McMahon, no, we don't want him. It gets pretty crappy after that. Sorry, everybody. Jed Jerko's 15% owned. Yeah, it's a bad. Matt Duffy is 12% owned. He's been leading off.
Yeah, at least he plays.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been pretty, okay lately in the deep league sense. Now, Alan Hansen could gain third base eligibility. He's 17% owned. Scott and I picked him up in the For the People League, in which we're terrible. And Hansen replaced Longoria yesterday. I guess Sandoval could play third base when Belt gets back. Sandoval's been playing some first base. But I'd rather it be Hansen. He's got some speed. He's second base eligible. Might gain third base eligibility and 17% owned. And I just want to send a quick note out to one of our listeners who's also in that podcast For the People League. You got to stop with the Azer trades. Stop sending us these terrible trades for Rhys Hoskins and Anthony Rizzo. You want our two best hitters. You're not getting them unless you give us something amazing. You know who you are. This is like the fifth or eighth time you've tried. It needs to stop. The thing with Azer trades is that I make them once, maybe twice, and then
so
we're
done. I don't know if it's the same person, but I had to publicly shame someone on Twitter about their trade offers, and they finally stopped.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Adam,
well,
it's the same one.
Adam's
same
publicly guy. Shamed them, too.
No, I'm doing it right now.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. I had to just post a screen grab and say, please stop doing this. So
yeah, come on, man.
Look, it's okay. I don't take it personally. It's just, you know, don't insult my intelligence.
Rob Manfred said the DH in the NL is, quote, a continuing source of conversation among the ownership group, and I think that the dialogue actually probably moved a little bit, end quote. Good. Let's get the DH in the NL.
Agreed.
It's eventually going to happen. I don't like it, but it's going to happen.
Fantasy feud pace. Pittsburgh expected to be a seller at the trade deadline, according to MLB.com's John Morosi, which maybe could impact Felipe Vasquez, excuse me. AJ Pierzynski said yesterday on the post game show on Fox Sports 1 that, you know, he still seems to have some Braves contacts, and he said they want to add a reliever. He did say that they like Vizcaino in the ninth, or he said something like Vizcaino's been good, but they want to add another reliever. Vizcaino has been good, Scott. Do you think he still is going to maintain that job as the closer all year?
My guess right now would be yes. He hasn't. Again, the FIP is a lot higher than the ERA. The walk rate is high. They're both like survivable problems. I'm always a little scared when the closer isn't the best reliever in the bullpen. And with Dan Winkler there, that's clearly the case for the Braves. But right now I foresee this guy, you know, keeping the job.
All right. So I got a stat of the day on Blake Snell. First, I can't go to your homes and give you money. I can't just hand you $20 or $10 out of my wallet. But I can do that via the SeatGeek app with our promo codes. So next time you are sitting there thinking, I really like to go to a game or a concert or a comedy or a theater, how can I get there? Well, it's kind of annoying to try to go on multiple sites and find the best deals. So let SeatGeek do all of that for you. And our promo codes, if you've never used SeatGeek before, use the code FANTASY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Or use the code TODAY for $10 off any baseball tickets. So SeatGeek will search multiple sites for you. That's why it's going to save you time. And obviously it's going to pull in a whole bunch of good deals because it's looking at a bunch of sites, and that's how it's going to save you money. And when you go on SeatGeek on the app and you look at an event, every seat has a grade. So you can sort by price, or you can sort by deal score, which tells you how good the deal is, and then you buy the tickets you want. You go to the game. A lot of times you just do right on your phone. You know, you get the tickets on your phone. You buy the tickets on your phone. They're on your phone. You show up. You scan your phone. You're in the stadium. It's really simple. I almost pulled the trigger on Yankees tickets a couple of nights ago. They were kind of cheap because we had lousy weather, but we just couldn't get to the game. But we will soon, and we'll use SeatGeek to get there. The codes are FANTASY for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase, and TODAY for $10 off any baseball tickets. All right, your stat of the day. Wondering if there's any regression coming for Blake Snell. He had a bad start yesterday. He entered yesterday's start with the lowest batting average against with runners in scoring position. Does that matter at all to you guys?
Well, you frame it as wondering if there's any regression coming. Sure. He has a 159 BABIP with men on base. He has a .068 BABIP with runners in scoring position. There is definitely regression coming. But that's regression to a mid-3 ZRA rather than a mid-2 ZRA. That's not it. Based on the skills that he's shown this year, I think the overwhelming consensus of the evidence is that he is very good. And so, yes, there's regression coming, but there's regression coming for pretty much anyone who has a 2.58 ERA, except Corey.
Yeah, Cooper. And he was pretty wild yesterday. Now, what's a good strike rate? Not swinging strike, but strikes.
Do you know? 60%, 65%?
Yeah, I think I could find league average pretty quickly.
Okay.
I think it'd be closer to 65 than 60.
Because Snell's been at 62% over his last 9 starts. I don't know if that's a concern. And then there was one other thing that I thought was really interesting. Look at the strand rate leaders. Because Blake Snell is 7th in strand rate. He has stranded 84.7% of his runners. But look at the top 6. Kluber, Verlander, DeGrom, Morton, John Lester, Garrett Cole. And then it's Blake Snell. So it's actually pretty good company to be in. I mean, you strand a lot of runners because you have such good stuff. But then after the top 7, it's Hamels, Skaggs, Gio, Foltynewicz, Jake Junis, Max Scherzer, Tyler Mahle, and Julio Teheran. Pretty weird top 15. Like a lot of ace, true aces, and guys we don't think of it that way, but does that mean that they're, you know, does that mean that Mike Foltynewicz is really like close to that company? You know what I mean?
I think what you see with all of them, including those high end guys, because what, Verlander's ERA is like 130 or something. Like they're all due ERA correction.
And if you look at the left on base percentage leaders last year, it's like Clayton Kershaw, Robbie Ray, Corey Kluber, Gio Gonzalez, Max Scherzer, Drew Pomeranz, Justin Verlander, Irvin. It's like it's a mix of the best pitchers in baseball
and lucky ones
and guys who just got a little bit lucky or did something right. Like, I don't want to attribute everything with that to luck. Some guys really do pitch better with runners on base. Like, I was looking up Domingo Herman's numbers earlier, and he's been much worse with runners on base, like a 200-point OPS split with runners on base. Some guys just can't pitch out of the stretch. So I don't want to dismiss it entirely as luck, but yeah, like, he's not going to strand 85% of base runners. Last year, Clayton Kershaw is the only one who did that.
And now, like, eight guys are doing that. All right.
Right.
Chris,
and that's, that,
I'm very
that every,
sorry.
Yeah, that's just because it's, you know, we're less than halfway through the
on
season.
June 15th, eight guys are doing something that only one person did. Ever.
Right.
I'm sorry to cut you guys off. I just want to move on. Sky, final point.
I was just going to say league average strike percentage is 63.5. So basically right in between what we were saying.
Okay. Brian Dozier went 0-for-4. He's batting 230. His slash line is 230, 309, 397. It's been awful. June 8th, so it's June 15th right now. June 8th of last year, his slash line was 237, 332, 409. Not that much better. And he had a 985 OPS in the second half with 21 homers. June 17th, 2016, his slash line was much, much worse. 227, 325 on base, 369 slugging. Right now it's 230, 309 on base, 397 slugging. In 2016, his second half OPS was 990 with 28 home runs. We still believe in Brian Dozier. Email of the day number one is from Seth. He said he came across this on the internet, and it deserves some airtime on the podcast, and here it is. There you go. That exists.
That's pretty good.
Braden Lane good. On YouTube. Congratulations. Very funny video. Email of the dude. Sorry, can't get to this. Mike in Nueva York was going to read your rankings email. I know who you are, Mike. We've met before. You're cool. Couldn't get to your email. Please forgive me.
I strongly agree with one of them, by the way.
Probably the one we brought up yesterday. The Segura one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Stop hating, Scott.
I don't hate, like, I move.
What a like, Chris Towers.
Wow, I moved. Look at this guy. Look at how this guy's doing. I'm going to move him way up my list. And then the next day, Scott, why are you so low on this guy? I just moved him way up. What do you want from me?
You should have moved him up more.
I tried to, you know what I noticed yesterday? I was trying to make some trades last night. I was trying to trade a catcher because I have Grandal and Gattis in a league. Actually, I have Grandal and Gattis in two leagues, but in this one league, 12 team categories league, trying to trade a catcher. Almost everybody in the league has one good catcher. There are, 10 to 12, like, start-worthy catchers. Kind of lowers... Okay, look, I have two of them. But they have Sanchez, they have Posey, they have Salvador Perez. They have John Hicks now, and he might be top 12 just by default. They have JT Realmuto. Like, there are, in a one-catcher league, I'm not sure how much value I'm going to get with my catching
surplus. I was looking
at
the Roto rankings yesterday. I don't think there are any catchers inside the top 150 players in value so far this season. So, like, the bar is really low. I think there are exactly 12 inside the top 300. So, in that sense, there is not that much difference between the number 1 and the number 12 catcher right now. But I don't necessarily mean... think that means every team has a good catcher.
No, almost every team has a catcher that they're comfortable with, whether it's Ramos or Cervelli, Molina, you know, then you're getting to the end of it. But I'm good. I think I might have a tough time hoarding two good catchers and trying to trade one. Might not work out for me. But let's take a look. I've been doing a lot. I've been really very active in fantasy lately. Been adding a lot of players. I've been adding Ryan Healy, Dylan Covey. I just, as we were on the air and heard Scott raving about Domingo Herman, I dropped Jordan Lyles for him. And I would have been sitting Lyles today against at Atlanta anyway. But let's see who the people are adding right now. The most added list will be a lot of two-star pitchers. It will also be Steven Wright, who starts this weekend. He is a two-star pitcher. He starts at Seattle. He's 64% owned. Hector Rondon, we talked a lot about him. Hector Rondon is number two on the most added list, and he pitched in a four-run game in the ninth inning yesterday. So Rondon is 40% owned. I think I added him last week and then dropped him this week when Giles got the save. What would you guys
do? Yeah, get used to that.
Right? Yeah.
Get used to a lot of adding and dropping Hector Rondon and maybe Ken Giles, too, in the long run.
All right. Fair enough. Dylan Covey, 37%. Max Muncy, 82% owned. Seth Lugo, 36% owned. Just beware, his rotation spot is not set in stone. Juck Peterson, 55% owned. Take a look at Scott's sleeper hitters. If there are a bunch of righties, I have a feeling Juck Peterson will make that list. Let's see. Mike Montgomery, Brian Anderson. We've really talked about so many of these guys. Jonathan Loaiziga, no idea how to pronounce it. We'll find out tonight when he pitches against the Rays. He's 18% owned. Scott, you know what? Let's transition from most added to prospects because this most added list is a dud. Tell me the prospects that you want to be adding right now.
So I think the five most stashable prospects, Vladimir Guerrero still tops the list for me, even though he's going to miss a few weeks with a knee injury.
It's obviously Ronald Acuna.
Ronald Acuna.
Still technically a prospect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I limit it to guys in the minors.
I was just doing a thing. It was a bit.
Okay. All right.
Very funny bit.
Eloy Jimenez is right in that same tier. And then after that, it's, you know, you're having to scratch a little deeper for ones who are really worth stashing and probably better left for deeper leagues. But I added Clint Frazier to that list because he's hitting about as well as he ever has in the minors right now. And somebody's going to get hurt in that Yankees outfield eventually. Like, there's a lot of old guys, a lot of injury-prone guys. It's going to happen. He's going to get a shot.
No, that's not what's going to happen, Scott.
Or he'll get traded.
There
either way. Either way, the door's going to open for him later this year. Nick Senzel's back on the list. He's, since coming back from vertigo, he's been hitting better. And it's just a shame that they don't try him at shortstop because he looks pretty well blocked at both third base and second base. But he'll be up at some point this year.
Okay. Nick Senzel. And all right, there you go. There's your prospect report. You can catch it on cbssports.com/fantasy/baseball. Jordan Zimmermann expected to rejoin the Detroit rotation on Saturday. Joe Mauer expected back today. The Yankees sent Tyler Austin to AAA. Jay Bruce sat with a back issue. Jake Lamb started against a lefty, after I said yesterday that he sits against lefties, and then he homered, but it was off a righty. Julio Teheran expected to start on Saturday, and honestly, like Anibal Sanchez has been so good, I don't know what's going to happen in that Braves rotation. What's going to happen in that Braves rotation?
Well, who do they need to make room for?
Soroka, I guess.
So, but he's already in it. Do they have
Teheran,
six guys in there right
Teheran.
Now? Oh, yeah.
McCarthy pitches tonight. You got McCarthy, Soroka, Foltynewicz, Newcomb, Teheran, and now Anibal Sanchez.
I mean, it's a toss-up between McCarthy and Teheran, who's been the worst this year. Tehran's obviously not losing his job. I would guess either Anibal Sanchez goes to the bullpen or Mike Soroka gets sent to the minors.
Can I make a timely reference?
Yeah.
Life finds a way.
What? What is that reference?
Oh, that's something Nando used to say. Remember?
Look, when it comes
reference to Jurassic Park.
Yeah,
obviously.
When it comes to which the Jurassic World comes out, I think next week. So yeah, it's timely. When it comes to pitching, and I think we see this all of the time, we're like, where is he gonna fit in the rotation? Somewhere, eventually.
Eventually, yeah, but I don't want Mike Soroka to get set down. And Sanchez has been good enough, unfortunately.
Right, but like maybe it's Brandon McCarthy gets DFA'd because they're not really paying him anything. I think the Dodgers took a bunch of money.
Like, well, it canceled out what they were paying Matt Kemp or something like that.
Like, yeah. But maybe like somehow someone will be out of the rotation.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe it takes a couple of weeks, but if you like Mike Soroka, and I think we all do, I think you still want to hang on to him, even if he has to go out of the rotation because Brandon McCarthy is still in it.
Coming up on the show, really impressive starts from David Price, who was hitting 95, 96 miles per hour on the gun yesterday, and Felix Hernandez, who had a great curveball yesterday. First, though, you're a sports fan, right? Okay, you like sports. You like baseball. Watch some baseball on your Roku. You can watch live sports, and you can watch more than 500,000 movies and TV shows on Roku. Go to Roku.com. It's not too late to get this as a Father's Day gift. All right, it starts at $29.99. I have a Roku. Most cool people have Rokus, okay? You put basically any app you want on there, including the CBS Sports app. I got Netflix on there. I got Amazon Prime. I got movie channels on there. I watch... Okay, I'm sorry to plug a competitor. I watch ESPN3 on there, or watch ESPN on there, so I do watch some live sports on there. But I can watch... If you have a premium subscription to a professional sports league app, they're available on Roku. If you don't have a premium subscription, you can often watch your local teams live with apps through your cable providers. And like I said, all those movies and TV shows. So, you know, you don't need TV anymore if you have Roku. Get on Roku right now, ROKU.com. They start at $29.99. Are these players trending up or trending down, in your opinion? Brandon Nimmo, he homered yesterday, 17 strikeouts in 11 games in June. And that was, the plate discipline was so good, that's kind of gone out the window. Is Brandon Nimmo trending up or trending down?
I mean, it's a longer trend than just this year of the plate discipline being good for Nimmo. I understand he's been kind of cold lately, but I think the bigger issue of him being assured playing time, he's trending up.
Yeah, I don't see any reason to, like, I'm looking at his rolling 15-game average for swing percentage and swing percentage on pitches outside of the zone, and there's nothing alarming there. He's not chasing a bunch or anything.
Okay, Brandon Nimmo's trending up. Is Carlos Rodon trending up or trending down? He has gone 5 innings in each of his 2 starts, giving up 2 runs. He walked 3 and struck out 4 against Cleveland. His 2 starts have been at Boston and home against Cleveland. So welcome back, Carlos Rodon. Is he trending up or trending down?
Trending up, I think, without question. He is come back to me. I have an interesting...
Like, I don't think anybody was adding him with the belief he'd be an immediate must-start option for them. Like, you pick him up for good matchups, 2 start weeks, and the hope he breaks out.
Okay.
I have to find my Rodon tidbit. Hold on. I'll talk while I'm doing that. It's interesting. He's throwing his fastball about 70% of the time so far through his 2 starts, which means he hasn't been throwing his slider very much. That's been his best pitch going back to high school, presumably, but it was the pitch that made him a prospect as a college pitcher. And so, you know, once he starts throwing that, I'll feel really good, because he's throwing his changeup a little bit more too. So, you know, that's the key for me with him,
with Rodon. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, we're not done.
Would you be surprised to learn that Carlos Rodon is only 6 days younger than Blake Snell?
No, not really.
I thought it was shocking. I feel like we think of Rodon as someone who's very old. He's 25.
I don't think of him as old. And I think the Blake Snell comparison in terms of what he is now, what he could be, is apt.
Okay. Tyson Ross, is he trending up or trending down? He's been kind of meh lately.
Oh, he's trending down. If you're forced to pick one or the other, he's trending down. He has been kind of meh lately. And that goes to the strikeouts. It goes to the swinging strikes. He doesn't throw as hard as he did prior to thoracic outlet surgery. And he's basically a 2-pitch pitcher. So I do worry a little that the league might be catching up to the knee-buckling nature of the slider and just learning to work around that.
Would you drop Tyson Ross for Carlos Rodon?
I wouldn't.
I would. I mean, you probably have a worse pitcher, but yeah, I would rather have Rodon than Ross.
So yeah, Ross. I mean, I think that what's really disappointing about Ross is that his last 4 matchups have been Miami twice, Cincinnati, and, you know, at Atlanta yesterday. That's fine, but hasn't really taken advantage. Still has the great home park, and he's got Oakland at home next week. Starter sit Ross against Oakland.
It would. I wouldn't be afraid to start him. It would just. It would totally depend what else I had.
All right, four up. How about I have you rank these guys rest of season? These guys are crushing it. Kris Davis, Chris Davis. He's basically having his Chris Davis season, batting right around 250. He has 20 home runs already. He's on pace, I think, for 48. He's usually like a 43-homer guy. But 7 home runs in June for Chris Davis. Rhys Hoskins, since coming off the DL, it's only been 5 games, but he's batting 353 with 2 home runs, 3 walks, 4 strikeouts. Andrew McCutchen, here he comes. Last 21 days, he's the fourth best outfielder in points, 9th best in Roto, and he is having a great June right now. And it's been a little bit longer than that for McCutchen. And Trevor Story, 26.6% K rate, which is a career low for him. Still been pretty bad on the road, but 829 slugging percentage at home, and Story's a top 5 shortstop. So if you if you were drafting today, my bad, Chris, would you take Chris Davis, Rhys Hoskins, or how would you draft them? Davis, Hoskins, McCutchen, Story.
That order. Story is making much more contact than he ever has. His contact percentage had been right around 71, 72% before this season. It's up to 77%. Swing strike rate down to 11.1% from 14% last year. So there are apparent improvements in Trevor Story's skill set that I don't think we've given him credit for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that he deserves to be last, to be honest. I think McCutchen's definitely a more of a head-to-head point-specific player at this stage of his career. So he might be last for me in Roto.
Okay. But Davis or Hoskins up top?
I still think I might prefer Hoskins, and maybe that seems nutty. I feel like he deserves more leash than flipping them around would give him.
You know, I think it's very nice. I just want to thank Chris Davis for being a predictable fantasy baseball player. I think that you just know exactly what you're getting. Thank you, Chris Davis.
And he's really good.
He is really good.
Every year.
He is less than great.
Yeah. All right, 3-man rotation. I don't know why I put Felix Hernandez in the rotation. He should have been with the fringy starting pitchers. He should have been – like Felix Hernandez coming off a great start against Boston. I watched a lot of this start. It was up way too late. He really doesn't have much of a fastball. He threw one to it was kind of like a show pitch. He threw one to Benintendi, or was it Bogarts? Bogarts crushed it for a homer. But man, the curveball was great yesterday. The changeup was great. And he's been inconsistent. 66% owned, but 2 great starts lately. So talking about Velasquez and Urmán, where's Felix Hernandez with Domingo Urmán and Vince Velasquez?
He's behind both.
Okay.
There's just not the same upside there.
What do you make of David Price throwing 95 yesterday?
His velocity has been up over the last couple of starts. I think in the month of June, his average fastball velocity, according to Brooks Baseball, is about a mile per hour up relative to where it was before. So that's promising.
Yeah. I still just am so nervous about his arm, about his elbow.
Sure.
That's got a weigh in your mind if you're a David Price owner. But last 7 starts, he has a 2.64 ERA and more than a strikeout per inning. And as Scott has pointed out many times, Price is not a guy who relies on swinging strikes. So he only had 5 last night. But he's not necessarily a guy where you look at that. And Clevinger, 11 strikeouts. He only has 80 and 91 and a third this year. But big game for him yesterday. And okay.
Yeah, and that's been, like, since the start of May, his swinging strike rate has been back to where it was last year. So I think we're going, like, I think that strikeout number has already begun to correct, and it's going to continue to correct.
You like any of these guys in deep leagues? Just a couple of hitters, Matt Duffy and Nico Goodrum.
Goodrum has been interesting this season. I don't know if he's been good, but he's been interesting. Like, there's some athleticism there, you know, he could steal maybe 15 bases. He could hit maybe 20 homers. I think that's interesting enough to be, you know, more than AL only relevant.
Okay. So you like him better than Matt Duffy? If you're in a vacuum?
I'd be more likely to use Matt Duffy, but I think Goodrum has more upside. Duffy, you know, the batting average helps.
You know who I like more than both, Adam, is the guy you just dropped for Alan Hansen. Johan Camargo.
Yeah, okay. Okay, because he gets on base.
He gets on base. He gets on base a ton. His bat, he's shown a lot more power this year. His BABIP is .238. He's had a lot of misfortune.
All right. Hey, it's deep leagues. It's good stuff. Johan Camargo, yeah. Matt Duffy, Nico Goodrum. Pitchers, do you see any pitchers who are under-owned here? They're all 26% owned or less. Tyler Anderson, Tyler Malley, Andrew Suarez, Matt Cook, Dan Straley, Anibal Sanchez, Jason Hamill, and Derek Rodriguez.
Anibal Sanchez is probably under-owned just because he's RP eligible. So you probably could use him as a SPARP in a deeper head-to-head league. But beyond that, I don't think.
Derek Rodriguez is kind of interesting, guys. He's got the Marlins at home next week, and he's 3% owned.
He's 3% owned. I count myself among the owners in a 24-team dynasty league.
Okay.
But, he had a good strikeout rate and a good walk rate in the minors, but he also seems like he can be pretty hittable at times and just doesn't have that prospect pedigree. I think he's a two-star pitcher this week, actually.
Oh, is he?
I think.
Absolutely, 80-grade hair.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, he is a two-star. Oh, my gosh. So Derek Rodriguez has the same awesome matchups that Andrew Suarez has, Miami and San Diego, both at home.
I don't know that I don't prefer him to Suarez. I don't think I'm going to add either in a standard mixed league. I know I'm not going to add either in a standard mixed league. Yeah. Who am I kidding? But
I don't know if I don't prefer him to Suarez is like the most damning with faint praise thing I've ever heard.
Well, you don't understand. Heath was really hyping Suarez's two-star potential yesterday, so I'm combating that.
All right, I think we're going to save Fantasy Feud for next week. Sorry, everybody.
No!
Let's do
it. We're so good.
Yeah, let's do 8 emails in 4 minutes. This is from John in Tennessee. Scott, you mentioned you dropped Braun in your rankings, but you didn't give a reason why. That's my fault. I didn't let Scott give a reason why. Do you mind elaborating? I have a feeling you just don't like Ryan Braun. You haven't looked at what he's doing. I know he's easy to hate and gets hurt pretty often, but when he's in the lineup, you have to admit Ryan Braun has been pretty good, especially lately. No, it's not true. He really hasn't been.
No. His numbers have been in pretty steady decline the last few years, and now he's not even close to playing every day. So, he could be the one who suffers the most, I think, from Eric Thames coming back.
They're not going to bench Ryan.
They bench him a lot already.
Right, but they're not going to. I don't think Eric Thames coming back is going to impact Ryan Braun. They're not sitting Ryan Braun because he's not playing well. They're sitting Ryan Braun because they want to keep him healthy.
He's not playing that well.
Right, but he,
I would guess he starts less often than both Aguilar and Thames.
Yeah, and the thing is, you look at his production lately, Ryan Braun would rather hit at Philadelphia than at Colorado. This is a guy that in his career has always just been unbelievable at Philadelphia, and he recently went 6-for-12 with 2 home runs, 7 RBIs, and 6 runs last week at Philadelphia. That's been a big part of it. He said he sees the ball very well in that park. All right, next email. Is kind of a long one. To DeWitt to quit says, hey, George, Michael, Job, and Tobias. How do you feel about punting categories in a 12-team, 12-category league? Yeah, I mean, I'm fine punting a category in a 12-category league. The more categories there are, the much more viable to punt. In fact, you probably should punt some.
You kind of have to.
Yeah. It's right, because if you lose...
You're not going to be competitive in everything with that many categories.
Right.
And it's probably, rather than try to be good at all of them, it's probably best to pick your battles.
Right, and hopefully it's like steals or something, which if you punt home runs, then you're also probably, you're hurting yourself in RBIs and runs. If you punt steals, it's just steals.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you have to pick a stat that's not connected to anything.
Right. From Adam, what the heck is wrong with Jonathan Scope?
Bit of bad luck, bit of not playing well.
Yeah, he kind of threaded the needle last year, having such a good year with his profile. You know, that just a bad, a guy who isn't going to have the great strikeout to walk ratio really needs to hit for average. And that's hard to do year in and year out.
Would you rather have Jonathan Scope or Chris Taylor?
I think I'd rather have scope, but that's kind of the range I've dropped scope to.
All right.
Give me Taylor.
This one's from Michael. Can we get a remix of the intro song where singing "Help you with league dominance" is replaced with one of Heath's favorite phrases, "Crazy town banana pants"? That would be fun. All right, get on that, Doc. From Taylor, Ryan Zimmerman or Jesus Aguilar?
Jesus Aguilar.
Yep.
From JT Higginbottom from Marietta, Georgia. Grade the trade in a 14-team points league. Give up Ross Stripling and Juan Soto. Ross Stripling and Juan Soto get Travis Shaw.
F. I'm not, like, that's not an exaggeration. I like Travis Shaw fine. I think he's a good player. I'm not 100% convinced Juan Soto's not just a better player right now.
Who?
Juan Soto.
Oh, yeah. I heard a Juan in there.
Juan. What?
I heard you said Juan Soto, I think. Like kind of how Heath says whip.
Oh.
Cool whip.
Juan Soto.
All right. You give it an F, Scott. Stripling and Soto for Travis Shaw.
I won't be that harsh. I'll give it a D+. I don't like it either.
Dating back to the start of the 2017 season, including the minors, Juan Soto has a 1261 OPS against lefties, by the way.
Wow. From Andrew.
As a 19-year-old lefty.
Yeah.
From Andrew, rank these Miguel Cabrera replacements. Matt Olson, CJ Crone, John Hicks, Yonder Alonso.
Matt Olson.
And rank them.
Hicks is, like, you don't want to start him at first base.
Yeah, I don't think the other guys are even in the same ballpark as Matt Olson. So Matt Olson, Yonder Alonso, CJ Crone, John Hicks.
Cool.
Yeah.
And from Rosendo, someone just dropped John Gray in my 10-team head-to-head league. I'm second in waivers. I'm struggling with pitching. Is John Gray worth the waiver claim?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, I mean, he's one of those pitchers who I feel like you're kind of stuck with just because the upside is so high, even if you don't want to use him. 10-team league, that, like, the rules change for a format that shallow. He probably can sit on waivers, but there's no harm in picking him up either.
All right, I think we have a pretty exciting two-star pitcher week. So let's get to it. I'm just going to ask this now. So you're going to start him in a two-star week. Are you going to start Jacob deGrom at Colorado in a daily league on Monday?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So, Blake Snell is at Houston and home against the Yankees. He's must start no matter what, right?
Yes.
Oh. Sonny Gray at Washington and at Tampa Bay.
Ooh. Two starts in a row against Washington? Is that what's going on for him?
Yeah, uh-huh.
You're definitely starting him. And you're probably starting him because that matchup against Tampa Bay is really nice, too.
And they're both on the road. Marco Gonzalez at the Yankees and at Boston. Nope.
Probably not. In a points league, I'd still do it.
Okay.
Like, you can, disaster start isn't as much of a disaster in that format.
Except he's going against two of the best swinging strike pitchers in baseball, Domingo Herman and Chris Sale.
Yeah. you still hope for a lot of innings in that.
Nah, just kidding around.
You know.
Jameson Taillon, Milwaukee and Arizona at home.
You do that. You start him.
Can Luke Weaver get you through the week at Philadelphia and at Milwaukee?
It's just seems like a points league option for me. And if he has two lackluster starts again, I think he's on the verge of getting dropped.
All right, Caleb Smith at San Francisco and at Colorado.
The points leagues where you can start him at relief pitcher, I think you have to do it. In a roto league, I'm not so worried about missing out on the strikeouts.
Yeah, especially with a Colorado start. He could wreck your
Ratio stats. Yeah,
is what I was going to say.
There you go. Nick Pivetta, St. Louis and at Washington.
Must start.
Carlos Rodon at Cleveland and Oakland at home. At Cleveland, home against Oakland.
Probably not in a roto league yet.
He's the one, of all the pitchers we've talked about so far, he's the one I'd be least interested in starting.
You'd start Caleb Smith over Carlos Rodon?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Yolis Chacin at Pittsburgh and home against St. Louis. Do you lease him for week 12?
I'm okay with that.
He's definitely on the fringes.
Okay.
I'd rather start him than Caleb Smith.
But really, we do have a, just like a much better week than normal, I think, with these guys. Shosin, Mike Montgomery, we talked about. Domingo, no, we didn't talk about. Domingo Armand, we talked about. Seattle and at Tampa Bay. Montgomery, RP eligible, and the Dodgers and at the Reds.
I think he's definitely worth starting as a SPARP in a points league.
But that's probably as far as I'd go.
Oh,
you know, other
all
than
right.
like NL only, obviously.
Yeah, Shosin or Montgomery?
Shosin. I would rather have Shosin.
Trevor, we can't start Trevor Williams, right?
Nope.
Dylan Covey, I said I am starting him in 2 points leagues next week. I will not start him in Roto. I worry about the whip and the maybe strikeouts. But
yep.
Covey at Cleveland at home against Oakland.
I think this is the perfect two-start streamer in points leagues. Like I was saying earlier, high floor. His ground ball, extreme ground ball rate gives him a high floor and the potential for a lot of innings.
All right, now let me just read some other guys. Tyler Chatwood.
Nope.
Tyler Anderson.
Not with two home starts.
He's okay at home, though.
He has been better at home, I believe.
Yeah, like this, like, I don't think it's horrible to pick him up, but I'm probably not going to do it in any of my leagues.
Okay, I'm not convinced that Tyler Anderson is a two-star pitcher, but we also have...
Tyler Anderson has a 5.14 ERA at home this year, by the way, with a 9.02 OPS allowed.
Okay, so then then I got him confused with another Rockies pitcher who's
starting
this weekend.
Well, I mean, he and Kyle Freeland.
That might be the guy.
Last year, they were both better at home. And I don't know, I don't have the game log in front of me, but it could just be one or two bad starts that have skewed the ERA this year.
Jason Vargas, Andrew Suarez, Paul Blackburn, who has great matchups next week. Like, that's the thing. Even some of the pitchers we don't like have good matchups. Like, Suarez, Blackburn, Derek Rodriguez.
Eric Lauer's matchups aren't terrible.
Yeah, Eric Lauer. We don't like Jaime Garcia.
I mean, Paul Blackburn is, I don't think, very good. He has, like, I think under four strikeouts per nine for his career. I think he's pretty bad, but... in a two-star week where he's at San Diego and then at the Chicago White Sox,
yeah,
I
good.
Think you consider it in a points league.
But I like Rodriguez better. Derek Rodriguez.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know. I don't know if I have a strong preference, but all I see is Blackburn has an 11.05 ERA in his last
I think Rodriguez
starts.
Is better.
All right, so look, it's not the worst week. The matchups are good out there. Oh, well, okay, Blackburn gave up 8 runs and 1 1/3 in his last start, so that's kind of skewing everything. And I think he's only made 2 starts. So let's move on. Weekend streamers, we'll finish it. We'll send you into the weekend with some pitchers you can pick up off waivers and try to win a daily league, a week in a daily league. Maybe I'll stop talking now and just read names. Tell me if you like any of these guys. They're going tonight. Chad Kuhl against Cincinnati.
Sure.
Yeah.
Kyle Gibson at Cleveland.
Not in this matchup, but I like him generally.
I don't mind him. It's not a good matchup, but he's a pretty good pitcher.
Jonathan L against Tampa Bay for the Yankees.
Not in his debut, but he's definitely somebody I'm keeping an eye on.
Nate Eovaldi against the Yankees. At the Yankees.
No.
Jose Ureña at Baltimore.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe the Baltimore.
It's a pretty good matchup.
I guess it's not too far behind, like, Kuhl against Cincinnati.
Okay.
But,
How about Clayton Richard and Brandon McCarthy facing each other in Atlanta?
McCarthy, if you're desperate.
I think I'm actually more interested in Richard, but it's still probably a no.
Brent Suter against Philadelphia.
No.
Nope.
Mike Fiers at the White Sox.
No.
Mike Fiers at the White Sox. That's funny. Ronaldo Lopez against Detroit.
I wouldn't.
This is the team that just got Lance Lynn just got 20 swinging strikes.
Yeah.
Against. I might do it.
And Castellanos is like 0 for 18. Miggy's out. Chris Bassett against the Angels.
No.
Seth Lugo at Arizona.
Yeah.
All right. So we got some options tonight. Scott and Chris don't agree on everyone. Chad Kuhl, Kyle Gibson, Jose Ureña, Reynaldo Lopez, Seth Lugo. Look at them. Saturday, Ryan Yarbrough at the Yankees.
No.
Jordan Zimmermann at the White Sox?
No.
Danny Duffy against Houston?
No.
Kyle Freeland at Texas, and Freeland has been better at home. Is that Texas?
Probably not, but he's the best one so far.
Alex Cobb against Miami?
No.
Luis Castillo at Pittsburgh?
Sure.
Yeah.
Ivan Nova against the Reds?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put him in italics.
Yes!
Nick Tropiano at Oakland?
No.
Fernando Romero at Cleveland?
Don't love the matchup.
No, I can't trust
him. If I said yes to Gibson, I guess I got to say yes to him, too.
All right, I'll put my italics.
That's why I said no to Gibson.
You didn't want to back yourself into that corner.
Junior Guerra against Philadelphia?
No.
Jordan Lyles at Atlanta?
No.
Steven Wright at Seattle?
Let's see how today to... Oh, this is the start. I'll say yes.
To Steven Wright? And yes. Steven Matz at Arizona?
No, thank you.
So keep an eye on Luis Castillo, yep. Ivan Nova, Fernando Romero, and Steven Wright. We also got a... about Junior Guerra from Scott. On Sunday, we got Sam Gavilio against Washington.
No.
Nope.
Jake Odorizzi at Cleveland.
No.
No.
Anthony DeSclafani at Pittsburgh.
No, but I want to see.
Those Twins pitchers at Cleveland are killing me.
Yeah, I know. CeCe Sabathia against Tampa Bay.
I know. Yeah, that's pretty good. I'll do it.
Blaine Hardy at the White Sox.
No.
Nope.
James Shields against Detroit.
No.
No.
Chase Anderson against Philadelphia. I actually don't know how owned he is.
Not starting him, but I want to see if the velocity stays up from his most recent start.
Brad Keller against Houston.
No.
No.
Daniel Mengden against the Angels.
Not with the way his last couple starts went. No.
Zach Wheeler at Arizona.
No. I mind that one. I could do that.
No.
Okay.
Clay Buchholz against the Mets.
Nope.
Caleb Ferguson against San Francisco.
Nope.
Mike Leake against Boston.
No.
Sabathia, Chase Anderson, Zach Wheeler. Yeah, none of them have consensus, but Sabathia, Chase Anderson, Zach Wheeler are possibilities. Happy Father's Day, Scott.
Thank you.
All right. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Yeah. All right, see ya.
And we will talk to you on Monday. Keep it real.